Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.
Hello, world. Welcome to the podcast that was previously sponsored by Snickers, but they pulled the spot after the debacle of the last show. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always with my co-host, Travis MCP.
Space travel.
That's right. We're back space traveling through the podcast worlds for 2022 with all the fun things going on.
Yeah.
What's going on with you, Greggy?
Oh, man. So much fun over here. After last week's show, got a call from Snickers, and they said they will no longer be sponsoring the GadgetCast. So, you know, I had to do the adult thing, Travis, and I had to look for a new sponsor because I'm not doing this show for free. As you know, our show is owned by Warner Media, and, you know, I went to Warner Media. I said they pulled the Snickers spot. What are we going to do? Do we got another candy bar that maybe could sponsor us? And they said, No, there is no candy bar that could sponsor us right now. But I will say that we do, thankfully, we have a new sponsor, Travis.
Okay.
Okay. Ready for this? It's big. It's big. Yeah. It is big.
I'm ready. Let's go.
I am proud to announce that we have replaced Snickers, a horrible, awful candy bar that you should not eat. Very bad. And we are now sponsored by Taco Bell. And and I want to say that Taco Bell has a new promotion for you. Okay. It is the Taco Lovers Pass. Taco Lovers Pass. And you can get, for $10 a month, Travis, a subscription service for tacos, you can get one taco a day for $10. Listen to that. $10 a month. Look at that purple. Uh-huh. GadgetCast branded, like I requested.
That's
you,
true.
You should eat the official fast food of GadgetCast, which is the Tacos Lovers Pass. $10 a month, get a taco every day. What a world to live in. I'm very happy for this new sponsor.
Wait a minute, how much does a Taco Bell taco normally?
Well, you know, inflation is a thing now.
Is it normal, just a normal taco? Because I like some things from Taco
Bell. You can get just tacos, but you can get a supreme taco.
Ooh!
You can get the supreme taco, which I prefer. That has some sour cream on it.
Yeah,
you get a little bit more veggies and stuff. You know, I'm a supreme taco guy, and I'm looking at the website right now.
Yeah,
$2.19 for a soft taco supreme.
You're saving money. So they also have you can get the Doritos ones too. The Doritos ones are good.
I don't think the Doritos are included.
It says, all included with a Tacos Lovers Pass. Crunchy Taco Supreme, Soft Taco Supreme, Doritos Locos Tacos, Doritos Locos Supreme, and Spicy Potato Soft Taco.
Oh, look at that. You got so much variety. You could get the Spicy Soft Potato Taco.
You know what, Greg? We really need to get them as a sponsor.
They are. They are. Taco Bell is officially sponsoring this. This show is a huge success.
Yeah.
And this is not a lie. This is not a lie. Mm. It's just a little bit of an altercation of truth. But it's not a lie.
So is your mom going to ask if the sponsorship's real again or no?
Well, we'll see.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, back to the GadgetCast. We're here having fun.
The Taco Pass, I think we have to get this. I really want to get this. I'm scared to get this, though. I have a Taco Bell that is very close to me, very close. Yeah. I could realistically get a taco every day if I wanted to with this pass, and it does scare me because I'm like, what kind of damage would that do internally to have a taco? Because if you buy the subscription service to get your money's worth, you're going to feel obligated to get a taco every day.
Right.
You know, it's not like a gym membership where you get it and you never go. This is a free taco. You're going to pass by Taco Bell and you'd be like, ooh, taco. I can go in right now and get my taco.
Well, here's the thing about Taco Bell. First of all, I mean, we're going to get into tech, but this is important stuff. This is needle
moving.
This
is more important
content.
This is tech. Subscription service cannot be done without tech.
It's on an app. You have to do it on an app. 100%. So here's my only thing about Taco Bell. First of all, the good thing about Taco Bell is you can get 27 tacos for about $1.50. Like, it's the best value in trash food you can get. But They have done something controversial, which I will never forgive them for, and they removed the Mexican pizza, which I think was a huge mistake.
I thought they brought that back recently.
Did they?
Yes, they did, I think they had an announcement that they brought the Mexican pizza back.
Wait, where is this? I'm looking on their thing. I don't see it. Let's see.
Our sponsor, Taco Bell, is bringing back the Mexican pizza.
They better.
I just looked it up. I Googled it. It said the rumors are true. Taco Bell is bringing back its Mexican pizza. You know, a lot of people talk about Apple rumors and leaks. Apparently, there's a whole other world of fast food leaks.
We need to get into this.
We need to make a fast food channel. You know, fast food channels are pretty popular. You know, we could do that.
You know, we could do that and do a podcast for fast food. Anyone in the chat, let us know. Should we do a fast food channel? Because I could do that. Now, I can't eat as much fast food anymore, but I could talk about it all day. I can talk about it.
I don't know. You kind of started the show saying you might die, the live stream, I should say. And now you want to start a fast food show. I don't think the two mix. I don't know.
But it would be so much fun. I could talk about, I could have fun. I think we might only get 10 episodes in before we're over it. But I would do this, Greg. I would totally do the, what would we call it? The Gadget Crafts? No, that's a crafting channel. Gadget
Foodcast.
Foodcast. Is there a Foodcast already? I would do this if it's not only America exclusive fast food. Katya, I don't know. I mean, I think Katya's in the Netherlands or something. I don't know what you
have. Does the Netherlands have fat? Does it really have fast food though? What are you guys eating over there?
I'm perplexed Katya is on the internet. I didn't know they even have that over there yet. So
they do have good internet. I will defend the Netherlands for their good internet.
They probably have better internet than us.
People in that part of the world are pretty fit. How good can their fast food be? It can't be that tempting, you know?
504 got it. It's called Tec-O-Bell.
Tec-O-Bell.
Oh, my God.
But it has nothing to do with tech. It's just fast food.
That's true. No, but something we can think about. I don't know. We're being kind of silly. But I'm actually interested in doing that. But... for the people that are now fast forwarding past all this to get to the tech.
No, I love this. This is the best part.
I would literally talk about this for an hour. I 100% would. I would 100% do that because I would talk about Arby's and how it's underrated and how people don't like it, but they need to like it. I could go there. I could go there. But anyway. All right. Mm-hmm. Couple things. So I put in the title of the live stream, which will be the same, I'm sure, for the podcast because why not? We can talk about Apple making lots of money, and we can also talk about Google and Samsung. I did a couple videos about them. Which would you like to delve into first, Senor Greg?
Let us talk about, I want to know what Google and Samsung, what are they thinking?
All right, so I did two videos. I don't know if Greg, you saw them or not. Doesn't matter if you did or not.
I did.
We're going to talk about it now, so it doesn't matter.
I did.
All right, cool. So here's the thing. Let's start with Samsung. What was it? A year and a half, 2 years ago, they came out with something called the Samsung Galaxy S20 FE. In a lot of ways, it was kind of for Samsung, it was almost like a groundbreaking kind of thing because it was a disruptor within their own kind of listing of products. In other words, when the S20 came out early in the year, about 6 months later, they released this phone, which had almost all the same specs, but for like $300 less. So it was kind of the darling of tech. I loved it. I know some people had some weird issues with it. You know, months later, there's some touch screen issues or something for some people. But by and large, complete success. They even said they sold like 10 million of them in the last year, which is a huge success. Great. I mean, like they said, we're going to do it every year. I was excited for this new kind of disruptive thing where you're going to get flagship level stuff on a Samsung phone for less. Right? I mean, that sounds great. Well, 2021 happened and everyone was delayed. So the S21 FE never came out in 2021, which is when it was originally supposed to come out. It was announced here at CES. But the problem is the S22 is about to be announced. Now, what made the S20 FE so interesting and so kind of compelling was the fact that A, it had the specs of the current flagship, and B, it was priced substantially lower. The mistake here is that now Samsung is about to announce their newer flagship, which means the S21 FE is no longer using the kind of cutting edge processor and all that other stuff. It's actually going to be a year behind. But perhaps worse than that is the fact that it's not $300 less anymore. It's the same price as it was the previous year. However, it's still $700 in 2022, when that's not that big of a deal. We don't exactly know what the S22 prices are going to be, but we're pretty sure it's not going to be, there's going to at least have one version of it that's going to be within whatever, right? So at the end of the day, this great idea that Samsung started with has not progressed. What Apple does, which I like, and I'd love to hear what you think about this. What do you think about the fact that Apple will always leave behind an older generation of phone to be the less expensive entry into Apple? And Samsung doesn't really do that. So like this year, we won't have access to the S21 anymore. It'll just go away. It'll be discontinued, and they'll just have to do the S22 or the S21 FE. Do you think Samsung should consider what Apple does, and that is keep one version of the previous phone for like the budget or slash entry level?
Yeah, I think that would probably be the better route to go on, because I always felt like, you know, whether these phones are good deals or not, I just feel like the human psychology of people who are already in the market for a phone in that upper end of the price range. You know, some people go into a carrier store and they'll take whatever the person recommends that they're selling it to. But people who are like pretty well educated and stuff like that, I think they look at a phone like that and, you know, you call it the FE, you call it, you know, whatever spin you want to put on it. People kind of view it as a lesser phone sometimes. And they aren't as like excited to go out and buy it. It kind of just feels like yesterday's phone, just kind of like remixed and stuff like that. Where when you have something like the S21, and I think I've heard like people even say this in some of like their hands-on and stuff like that, they said like build quality-wise, it felt more premium. The fan edition phone felt like it was cheaper and stuff like that. So you already have the tooling to make all these older phones. You've been making them for like a year at this point. So when that rolls around, you can actually drop the price of those phones because it requires less resources and less money to make, or you might have them already laying around. So I think from a business standpoint of just keeping the older phones in the lineup, it makes more sense, because even though it might be last year's phone, I feel like people they know it was a flagship before. And then they think, oh, I'm getting a super good deal on it, rather than, oh, I'm getting a phone that is cheaper than this next phone. I really feel like the human psychology plays into that. And, you know, I just take my own metrics for that, too, because I'll look at something like I know like LG makes like those TVs that are like a little bit lower than the flagship line, but they're still like OLED TVs. And I almost considered getting it, and I was like, I don't want that version. I want the best version. But when I got my OLED TV, it was right before the new ones came out, and I knew the new ones were coming out, and I went, wait a minute, I got a fantastic deal on this flagship model that is a year old. And that's how I think about it. So I imagine a lot of people are the same way.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for me, I think the biggest problem with Samsung is they want to be at every single price point. I guess it's their strength and their weakness. It's kind of how they sell so many phones every year, is because they're selling an aggregate of a bunch of different phones. But it's confusing to the consumer, because there's like an A series, which used to be very definitively lower performance, but now like the higher end of the A series is, you know, it's pretty darn good, and actually probably battles the S series, the lower S series, in a lot of instances. But you just don't know. Like, you can't tell. Like, it's cheaper, sure. Maybe the build quality isn't as good, but some of those new A series that they have are just really good. So I guess overseas it's different. Like, there's a lot of different options overseas, probably even more so than here, even from Samsung themselves. And I guess trying to be competitive all over the world, including places where price pressure is even higher, like in India and stuff, you have to have these a ton of different options. I get it. But it's super confusing. And interestingly, it appears that on their high end, they're starting to kind of bring everyone in and not having the Note anymore, and making the S22 essentially a Note phone does some interesting things, because A, you don't have the people who are going to be able to wait to the end of the year for the Note series phone. It's just going to be at the beginning of the year. That's it. But the people like me who were just Note fans now have to go to the S series of phones and hope that all the cool software tricks and the cool things that they kept specifically for the Note series of phones are going to get pushed into the S series. I believe it's because you can't, they couldn't sustain two large flagships at these really high price points and get enough sales to make it worthwhile. So they're just going to try to bring everyone under one tent and see if that works, which is what Apple does. I mean, you got three or four phones, and the main difference is their size. I mean, one, you know, the pros have an extra camera, but by and large, are darn near the same thing. And then Katya brings up a really good point that in Europe, especially, a lot of the Samsung phones are hampered by the Exynos processor through Samsung. However, Samsung's working with AMD now, and their newer Exynos chips should be pretty good. So for the longest time, I'd seen comments that, you know, people in Europe and in overseas really weren't fans of some Samsung phones because of the Exynos processor, but that might actually not be as big of a deal this time. We'll have to see what's going on.
I think the biggest problem for Samsung is their inconsistency in their lineup. And if you're a veteran at this kind of stuff, and this isn't your first time buying a smartphone, you know you can just kind of wait out some of these more premium high-end phones and get them at a much better price. Like, what is the S21 FE priced at?
$700.
So you go on, well, I guess these are what, like trade-ins and stuff like that on Samsung's website.
Sure.
But yeah, like, they have like aggressive trade-ins to the point where you can get like a regular S21 for $250. I don't know if the trade-ins are going to be as aggressive as that, but you look at the website and even like regularly priced, it's just $800. Like, there's not enough distinction between these lineups. And then, you know, you can find these phones cheaper, like at other websites that aren't Samsung's websites. Like, you can get a better deal on them. So I really feel like that's why when Samsung decides to release phones in like this lineup, it isn't as impactful, where, like, you know, you look at Apple and what they did when they released the iPhone XR. I think they quickly realized that this is going to be our flagship phone and we're not going to lessen it. Even though that phone sells pretty well for them, ever since they changed the name to like the iPhone 11 and the 12, their sales have only gone up from doing that, because they kind of treat that phone, even though some people realize it's not the highest end phone, they treat it as their regular flagship phone. And I think Samsung can learn a lot from that, because when you look at Samsung's phones, they're just priced really highly out of the gate. And if they can compete, if they can get a $699, call it the S22, right? Just call it the S22. You can have the more premium high-end options at the top, but if you call it that, I feel like it just attracts more people in to look at your phone, because you're already at that price range, and they might walk away with one of the more expensive models anyway. They might go in and go, I want this $700 phone. Actually, there's a couple camera features on this $200 one that I want, and after the carrier person explains that it's only like $5 more a month, you probably walk out with that anyway.
Yeah, good point. I love the naming convention can make a huge difference. You're probably right about that. We'll have to see, because you notice we haven't seen any S series phones in years. When was the last time we saw an S series? 6S? There wasn't a 7S, was there?
10S.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's right.
I always forget about that one, too. I forgot about that one. You do forget about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's
right. And it was kind of a forgettable phone, because it really didn't have that many new features. I think the biggest thing with the XS was they came out with that bigger size with it, the XS Max.
It feels like the reason that even came out is because they're like, well, we got to put something out. And we're not really ready for the 11.
It was people talk about like the 13 being like a lackluster update. Like, that was maybe one of the most lackluster updates from Apple ever, going from 10 to 10S. The 11 was such like a knockout with all the features it came with that was like a pretty highly reviewed phone at the time.
Yeah, really interesting stuff there. So Samsung's doing that. One of the things I did see in the comments a lot is, you know, at that price, you can get a Pixel and you don't have to worry about it as much. Now, it's interesting because I did a Pixel video this week too, which I enjoyed doing. Some really interesting behind the scenes stuff happened there too. But what I find interesting about it is I'm learning a lot of people who bought it early are having issues with them now, which I thought was weird. Do you still have yours, right?
Yeah, I still have mine. I used it for the like initial review. I honestly haven't touched it in a while. I did have problems with mine that were a little bit annoying, but nothing like crazy where it's like, oh, this is like a broken experience. But it seems people have gotten worse problems since then, which is interesting. Mm. You think the problems would be ironed out over time, where it feels like the Pixel 6 this year, for some reason, has had a lot of issues. Just going forward, I don't know if maybe like a software update ruined some things, or if just maybe these problems get exposed the longer you use a phone. I know like there's some finickiness with the fingerprint reader, and I remember telling you that I think I was like the first person to realize this. Like I was scrolling through Twitter and I was like, Travis, I feel like this is not 120 hertz. This feels like very juddery. There's something wrong with this phone. I told you that. And it's like, I feel like once everyone published their reviews, 2 weeks after, I felt like I started seeing people go, hey, Twitter's not like that smooth on this. And I was like, I realized that like the first hour I had the phone. What's going on?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, it was quite the darling of all the early reviews, which I guess was not terribly surprising because a lot of them got sent to kind of smaller channels to cover. And of course, a lot of them, and I'm not saying they're all being disingenuous or anything, but I think they were super hyped to be part of the Team Pixel thing, right? So yeah. I think everyone saw the best parts of it and didn't really, and there probably wasn't that much time to find all the finickiness either, like you kind of found.
Yeah, like I did my, and I think I will go back to it actually for the new year because I did want to go back and reuse it because it's an interesting phone for Google. But I do feel like with all these stories out of reading people I trust talking about this phone, it does feel like back in the day when Google released a phone, the flagship feature of that phone besides the camera was getting a really polished version of Android. And that does not seem to be the case anymore. I think Android 12 is where, when a lot of these issues kind of actually came to the forefront. Apparently, Android 12 is really, really buggy. Yeah. And I really feel like Google's strength there was like, we're the Apple of Android. You buy our phone, you're going to have the smoothest experience ever. You're not going to have problems. And we're not seeing that at this point. We're seeing Samsung actually deliver, I think, a smoother experience with their phones, which probably shouldn't be happening considering that Google literally owns Android. They should probably be shipping a better version of Android than what Samsung is doing.
Yeah, so what's interesting about this, I didn't know all this when I made this video, which had nothing to do with that aspect of it. But it does make a difference because what I talked about in my video wasn't so much the phone itself, but how it's being marketed and that I think Google is missing a step here. So I decided while I was making the video to make them a couple commercials, which at first I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And then I'm like, how am I going to do this? And then I do it and I'm not even happy with the voiceover. Like, I think it doesn't sound good. So I know that the concept is right and people will understand what I was trying to get at. And people really seem to have liked that video, especially the commercials I made. But then Mr. Who's the Boss leaves a comment and I'm like, damn, why didn't I ask him to do the voiceover? Because he's actually done that for me before in a previous video a long time ago. He would have been perfect for it. It would have totally nailed it home. But yeah, I think the idea behind, does Google understand what they're doing? It's another funny thing because I was like, well, there's people in the comments that were talking about, well, if Google really wanted to, you know, have a flagship that, you know, destroys everyone else, they would do it. Well, first of all, that's the silliest thing I've ever read, because why wouldn't they just do it then? That doesn't make any sense. I'm like, well, they make all their money in software and stuff, which is true. But why would you, Michael Fisher, I could have had 504 says Michael Fisher, I thought about it too. But what's funny is, think about this. There, you know, people are saying, well, they get most of the money on software, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if they have a good phone or not. Well, then don't make a phone. Because unlike in the console space, where you do sell something at cost or even less, and you know you're going to recoup your money on the software, you don't know that with a phone. And as a matter of fact, you probably won't, because if you look at the conversion rates of how many people use paid apps on Android versus like iOS, or even, weird enough, the Amazon Fire devices, because the percentage there is high too, you're probably not going to make your money back. So it doesn't even make sense to say something like, oh, well, they're just doing it to get it in people's homes. That's dumb. Because unlike these other devices where you need to buy something else for it to function, like video games for a video game console, you don't need to do nothing with that thing. And a lot of people aren't. They're going to use their free apps and they're done. So it makes no sense to put something out that's subpar just because. And some people are like, oh, it's just a toy. They just like play with it. You have never worked in a multi-billion dollar corporation, and I have. And I can tell you that's not the way it's thought of. Not thought of that way. So I got to say that it's really interesting to see. I don't know if they're apologists or whatever. Most people are just like, oh, that was amazing. That's great. Yeah, people need to know about that. And I agree. They should. That's why I made the video that way. But it's interesting to see how people who are loyal to a brand or something will make excuses for things they don't really need to be made an excuse for. Like, they should want more people to buy their phone. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't even get one, which is true. But that's because A, there's a chip shortage. It really didn't have anything to do with them being super popular. And B, it's not like they're going to make a million, like 12 million of these things to begin with. Like, they don't know how many they're going to sell. They know they're probably going to do better than the year before, but they're not going to make a whole bunch. And then the thing is when they sell out that, whatever that first number of phones is, now they've got to place another order, and you're already behind the eight ball. Unlike Apple, who will just go, give us all, because we know we're going to sell them all.
Absolutely. I think Google just needs to do a better job really advertising what makes a Pixel a better experience. I do feel like for this phone, there was maybe a little bit too much hype around it, because one thing I've learned from doing this for so long is that you can look, you know, they pre-announced this phone so long ago that it kind of had like this weird cycle of hype, of anticipation, of people waiting for it. And I would see people tweeting like a month before the phone was out that the Google Pixel 6 Pro is going to destroy the iPhone. I can't wait for this phone. It's going to be better than the iPhone. It's going to be better than the S21 and all this stuff. And I'm just like, no one has held this phone in their hands once. Why are you making all of these weird assumptions based on technical specifications? Like, oh, did you see the image sensor in the new Pixel? It's so good. It's gonna be the best camera. There's no way the 12 megapixel iPhone camera is gonna be able to stand up to it. And you know, when you find out, when you test these phones, that there's some things that larger sensor kind of gives benefits for, but there's also a lot of drawbacks and weaknesses to putting a bigger sensor in there. Like I found out with my video, where you kind of get some weird detail loss depending on the situation you're taking those photos in. I think a lot of reviewers found that out, that consistently, you know, you can take a really good picture with that phone, but it's not a consistent every time you snap the photo that it's going to be like, this is the better photo. And I think Marquez, who is like a, you know, I think he really likes the Pixel. He's like primarily an Android user. I was surprised that when I saw his review of it, he basically said the same exact thing that I said. It's like, sometimes this phone wins out and you get a really nice picture, but a lot of the times it makes some weird decisions that consistently, when you look at other phones, consistently they produce a better picture. And sometimes that's more valuable than maybe getting the best picture possible, because there's moments in time where you just want that moment captured. And if your phone did a bad job doing it, or if it was a little slow doing it, it's not worth it. You want that consistency. If, like, I was just reading this the other day, I forget who was tweeting it, but it was someone like, oh, sometimes my Pixel misses calls. It's not a big deal, but it's like, that's a pretty big deal. That if you're getting if you're getting drop messages and missed calls and stuff like that, you shouldn't be excusing that. It's a very basic feature. I know it happens, especially for like software updates and just weird things happening, but to consistently have that happen based on the phone model, not even like a carrier problem, it's a problem. And I think people should expect better out of the Pixel line. I do feel like there was a lot of expectations put on this phone that probably shouldn't have been put on it, just because it looked cool. Like, it really did look cool. And I still think it's a pretty cool looking design. When you look at it, it really stands out between the other flagships. And you couldn't say that previously about any of the other Pixel phones. All the other Pixel phones looked like copycats. And when you first heard about this phone, you heard that, you know, Google was making its own chip for it. But then as you start to get more information and you learn, I think you covered this in your video, like it's really not a custom Google chip at this point. It's not the same as Apple making their own chips. They still have work to do there. So I really want to see, you know, I think it's a good first step, though. I think this phone, Google can differentiate themselves more than they have with the Pixel, but they got to keep it going. And they have to have a vision, because the one thing I notice when I look back at the Pixel line is there's no vision. You look at the Pixel 1 and the Pixel 2 and you can see the vision there, but they dropped the ball after that. And after that, it always felt like they were playing catch up no matter what. So I think the Pixel 6, it could be a fresh start for them. I really want to see what the 7 looks like based on all the feedback they have now.
If you remember back when Prosser was leaking Pixel stuff, he mentioned that there were two design teams, and whoever won the design of the two got to get theirs like made. And I get the idea behind that. That's kind of cool. Like, you're hopefully going to get the best out of the company. That actually happened with Xbox. If you watch the Xbox documentary, really cool documentary.
That happened with the iPhone too. Steve Jobs had two different teams.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So I mean, that's fine for like the initial thing, but I mean, I don't know if you can do it every year because there's nothing consistent about it. I guess if you feel like, well, the last year wasn't so successful that we can start over. Okay, fair. But you have a pretty good baseline of where you started with the 6. I think maybe the software kind of screwed the pooch a little bit. Maybe that's what the thing is. I don't know. At the end of the day, to your point, to say, oh, yeah, well, it drops a car, everybody, who cares, is a little bit like saying, I just bought this car. You know, every once in a while it doesn't start. But that's all right. It's a car. Well, if you have one job. I mean, you have multiple jobs, but you have one you need to get right every time.
Yeah, and again, I really wish I could credit this. I've been watching like so much coverage of people at like CES and stuff like that. But someone was saying too that like they were, you know, they had people on the show floor using pixels to like record video and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they would have weird issues with it to the point where they had to switch to like an iPhone and, you know, stuff like that. So consistency is important and stuff like that. And I feel like Google's on the right track with the Pixel 6. I feel like most people did say Android 12. You know, I'm not like the biggest Android guy, so you can take what I say with a grain of salt. But I've seen a lot of people say Android 12 was kind of like a misstep in terms of the stability of the software. And that happens to Apple too, right? That happens to them. So, no one's going to get that. I lost my train of thought. All right.
Train derailed.
Train derail.
Yeah, and they also got a real big punch in the stomach with the Sonos lawsuit. I don't know if you saw that.
That's weird.
So apparently they can't import anything that uses the Sonos technology, which sounds like it's damn near everything that Google sells right now. I don't know where that's going to end up because it seems to me, just Google it for those who aren't familiar, because we're not going to deep dive into that too much, but it seems to me that whenever you hear about something like this, which sounds like a damning blow, like it never comes down, like it never ends that way. It's like, oh, okay. And then they figured something out. Like if it kept them from importing any of their own devices, like all of them, of course they're going to bend over and pay them the money. There's no way not to. So I don't know that we're going to see very much impact from that. I mean, Google will, but I don't think we're going to see that much impact from it. It's interesting though, because, there are some very hardcore fans of Google, and you can't say anything, well, just like anything else, you can't say anything bad about it without getting this blowback from this, I call them like a shadow group, because they're never around any other time unless you say something bad. It's kind of weird.
I'll say this, like, you know, a lot of these, I get that some people get like really upset when you complain about a product they like, because in the grand scheme of things, sitting here in 2022, it is extremely rare to find a product that is truly awful at this point.
Yeah.
Most of these products are good. Like I have criticism for the Pixel 6. I have criticism for the iPhone 13. But at the end of the day, like, these phones are really good. They are, like, within percentage points of each other, I probably, right? Like, everything about these phones is very well polished from where we were 10 or 15 years ago, to the point that it is kind of nitpicky when you take a look at these phones, because they are incredible pieces of technology. And I can see how someone who gets this phone, if they came from an older phone, they'd be like, what's wrong? This is the best phone I've ever used. But it's the kind of like the context of looking and comparing it against what everyone else is doing. And it's a hard thing for us as tech reviewers, because it's kind of like, is this really the best bang for your buck? You know, right. It can be a good phone, but if the S21 is priced at the same price as a Pixel 6 Pro, and that's better, you kind of have to go, well, you might be better off getting this. And I think a lot of people just take it personally when it's like, listen, at the end of the day, it's not a big deal, but if you're asking me what the better phone is and what I would recommend, maybe I'd point you towards something like this.
Yeah. Well, so that's Apple and Samsung doing some interesting things. Hopefully we'll see the S22 announcement here in the next couple of weeks. I'm probably going to make a little video about it, because from what I understand, based on some leaks, Samsung doesn't seem like they're bending to their hardest of hardcores in this next phone, but we'll see. I'll do a little bit more research about that. Having said that, Apple making more money. I mean, like, what's the surprise? Surprise, Apple makes money. They put out things get sold, they make money. Crazy.
I made a video about this.
Yes, I saw.
Did you like it?
That's why I brought this in the subject. I literally put it in there because you had a video about it.
Yes. Yeah. Apple crossed. Well, they actually fell below. I actually was late making my video, but they hit the $3 trillion stock market valuation, which is a huge milestone because no company, I believe, has ever reached that before, unless there's some company in like China I don't know about that already hit. I don't know. But anyway, it's from all the research I did, that's the first company to hit $3 trillion. They were the first company to hit $1 trillion. They were the first company to hit $2 trillion. Whatever. They're making a lot of money. They're doing very well. And my video is more focused on why they're doing well and why I believe that, you know, I feel like Tim Cook as CEO, oftentimes whenever there's a problem with Apple, he will get 100% of the fault for it, but he never, you know, a lot of people never give him any credit for anything. They never really give him credit for how well Apple is doing. And a reason why Apple is doing so well, and we just talked about this with the Pixel 6, is they have the supply chain down on lock to the point where they are getting affected by it right now, but nowhere near what other companies are getting affected by it, to the point where you might not be able to find a Pixel 6 in stock, but you can still, from what I can see, you can still pretty much find like an iPhone 13 in stock at certain places. And Tim Cook is responsible for like all of that. He was doing that when Steve Jobs was CEO, and he was negotiating the prices down to like, you know, like pennies, getting it right where they need it to hit certain price points on their products. He was condensing and making that process less complicated by really putting it to like a couple different factories rather than having it go to like 100 different areas, really getting, you know, the manufacturing line up and running to the point where you can sell the sheer number of volume of products that they sell with an iPhone. To the point where if you look at like the iPhone sale and you compare it against like the next Android phone, like that specific model, it's nowhere near. Like Apple sells so many of a single iPhone model, it kind of boggles the mind. So Tim Cook's really responsible for all that. And I feel like without him, even if, you know, even in a world where Steve Jobs was still alive, I feel like Cook deserves a lot of credit for that, because making those products and getting them out there, at the end of the day, to have that kind of sales success, you need products to buy. And he is largely responsible for all of that, even going back to when Steve Jobs was around.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, we're going to see the power of this in an upcoming video that currently is underway as we speak. I don't know if I talked about this. I think maybe I did. If I didn't, I'll, this will be the first time I talk about it kind of publicly in a while. I'm in the middle of shooting the new Android to iOS video with a new person who I've selected from our community. And I don't know if this is gonna, if they're gonna switch. I don't care if they switch or not. I think the interesting part of the video is the journey, right? But we're gonna see how powerful it is, because really it's about not so much the hardware. Sometimes the hardware is special, but a lot of times it's the software. And, you know, the device that this person's using was made under the Cook regime, and, you know, all the changes and stuff are since then. As someone who's coming from Android to try iOS, you know, will this person who really wants nothing to do with an iPhone, we're going to see how they do. And if this person decides to stay with an iPhone, that really says a lot about the place in which Apple is in, because I feel like a couple of years ago, that could not have been the case. If you go back a couple of generations of iOS, and even iPhones, but I think iOS is really the thing, it wouldn't have been enough to get people from Android side to come over. But if you look at, and I did a video about this a while back, about like the conversion of people leaving Android to iOS, that's because of the direction that they've taken and some of the things that they're doing and have done that they've never done before, and the things that they allow you to do that they didn't used to let you do, and they wanted to have, I mean, everything's still kind of closed off, but they are opening up and doing things that we've, that seemed un-Apple-like at first, but seemed to be a win for the customer in general. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested in that video just because I think it's an ultimate test of how good is Apple right now. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Speaking of like going over to like Apple and stuff like that, did you see that news story of it was like a pretty negative news story, but it was positive for Apple in a way that younger kids are choosing iOS for like features like iMessage, to the point where like, I forget the exact statistic, but I believe it was like 75 to 80% of like younger kids have an iPhone over Android.
Yeah, I actually talked about this like last year. I did a video and I talked specifically about that Samsung and the other Android manufacturers need to be paying attention to this. But the statistics have been this way for a very long time, actually, because as these people get older, they're more likely to stick with what they know. And if the Android manufacturers don't start getting into these consumers early, then you're going to have a level of consumership that is only Apple, because that's what they grew up with. And they're not interested in switching out. And you might start to see this big shift because it's going to be the norm. It's something that you grew up with. I've always had an iPhone. Why would I want to go to something else? You know what I mean? Like, and even some of the stupid arguments that happen between kids now, green versus blue, bubbles, and, oh, you're so broke because you have an Android. These dumb things that get into, I can't remember what video it was, but it was the one where Toxic Tech, when I did like almost 2 years ago, I talked about like the whatever the number was, really high. And as they grow up, that's a new consumer. As they go off to college, they get their own job, now they're buying their own phones, like that's a new consumer. And it's displacing an Android user as the Android users die, I guess is what it is. Or if you think about it like this, as those kids, when the parents are like, I need to get a new phone, and the kids go, just get an iPhone, and then we can do these things. Now you're getting this conversion from the younger generation to the older generation. So it's something that Android manufacturers need to pay attention to. I might got to do a video on this. It's like a specific video about this, because it's, for an Android manufacturer, this is a big deal. And I don't know if they're paying attention to it in that way. Maybe they are, but it's a big deal.
Did you see the tweet from the senior vice president of Google saying, like, it's Apple's fault that they have this lock-in and that they are promoting bullying by having this lock-in? Like, how do you feel about that?
The CEO of Google said that?
No, I think it's a senior vice president at Google.
He can't really think that. He must. That sounds like sour grapes. Because
here's what he said. Hiroshi Lockheimer, I believe that's how you say it. Apple's iMessage lock-in is a documented strategy. Using peer pressure and bullying as a way to sell products is disingenuous for a company that has humanity and equity as a core part of its marketing. The standards exist today to fix this.
So, okay, let's be real for a second. Of course, Apple is trying to lock people into their ecosystems to get people to buy their products. That, I think, you can't argue. Having said that, the bullying and stuff, that has nothing to do with that. What single Apple advertisement even mildly suggests that you are superior to an Android user? Like, what advertisement or anything like that mildly suggests that? It doesn't. So to say that is so disingenuous, it's kind of sick. Like, it's one thing to go, well, you know what? Apple has people locked in and they don't want to leave. We need to figure out how we can get those people to leave by giving them compelling software and hardware. There's your answer. They're saying, well, it's not fair because they're making people, but they're not bullying anybody. Stop it. They're just selling more because they've done something that people want. I mean, that's what it is. It's a little like, I don't know how else to say it. It's so ridiculous that I can't even really like say anything against it. It's just dumb. It's a dumb hot take.
I think most people pretty much responded like that. And, you know, people pretty much said like, they are a company. Like, it's a competitive advantage. They're here to make money. They're not like, you know, they know that iMessage is a powerful feature. So why would they give it away for free to other platforms to use and then lose their competitive advantage? That wouldn't make sense for them. You know, listen, realistically, I'm sure kids do get bullied for green bubbles, but teens have always bullied people. You get bullied over your shoes. You get bullied over the clothes you wear. So I feel like even if this wasn't a thing, they would find something else to be upset about or bully over or try and differentiate yourself as a kid. I'm not, you know, that's not right, obviously.
By the way, I would even go a step further. As recently as iOS 15, they've given Android users the possibility of doing FaceTime calls with iOS users. So that in and of itself is, I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, they let us use FaceTime, so now we're going to know how inferior we are, so that's bullying. No, that's not what happened. They've given their users an ability to talk to your users because you don't have something that's universally that easy to use. So now they have access to that. How is that bullying? It makes no sense. It's silly. And as see, for me, like, I don't really care. Android, iOS, like that stuff, I don't care. I use right now iPhones and iOS and Apple because it works for me right now. That might change in a year. Who knows, right? But for me, I hate things that are just disingenuous. Like, obviously disingenuous. That stuff really burns me, and I just want to tear it apart. And that's just a, it's a hot, hot, terrible, hot, stinky take.
There you go. Travis, I should probably mention this. I feel like,
uh-oh,
you know, there's a thing. No, it's good. Today is the 15th anniversary, 15 years since the debut of the original iPhone.
Needle moving moment.
15 years. Travis, do you remember like that day and like what it like? If you do, what did you think like during that unveiling?
I'm trying to remember if it was that year that I remember or the iPhone 2. I remember being at work for one of these. I don't remember if it was iPhone 1 or 2. It was one of those.
Just the iPhone, like early iPhone days. Like what was like your first reaction to the first time you heard about an iPhone?
Well, at the time, I think I was still using a Sidekick, I think, or around that time. Like that was the first smartphone for me, was the Sidekick. And I was so blown away by it. And then I got the G1, which was the very first Android phone, and all these other things. So I was already into, like, give me some cooler stuff on the phone. And I wasn't sure what to think about this thing. Like, what are they doing? Like, what is this thing going to be? And I think, I can't remember price-wise what it was compared to what else was on the out there to get. But I do remember that it was an AT&T exclusive, which is the thing that kept me from getting it. Because I wasn't on AT&T. I've never been on AT&T. So that was a, and I would love to understand the story behind that too. I mean, obviously, I think they offered it to Verizon, I think at one point, right? Or something like that. And they were like, no, we don't want it. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, they went, or I believe I'm remembering this correctly. I think they wanted Verizon. They went over to like so many different wireless carriers. And the thing that Apple really wanted was complete control of delivering these software updates, not having any carrier apps on their phone. They wanted to get rid of all that. And basically, which was Singular, is now AT&T, was the only cell phone carrier at the time that would allow them to have complete control over that system. So that's why they went with them.
Biggest moment in mobile history, because it's such an advantage. Because now, whenever there's an update, literally an update, like, let's see. Let's say iOS 15.3 comes out tomorrow. I know for sure, not only is my iPhone getting an update, but my iPad's getting an update. I can check my my Apple Watch is probably getting an update. Like almost everything is getting an update. I know that, which I love. I love that I know that I'm getting it and I don't have to go, hey, Greg, did you get your update? No, I'm on Verizon. I probably won't get it for another 2 months. Like, what is that garbage? And the fact that I know that Android has been trying to fix that for the longest time, and there's some type of operating system thing that I think they do now where it kind of gets around that, I think. But that was such a big move and such an important thing that you can't even, like, it makes the one of the biggest differences between Android and iOS, which I always bring up, is the updates. Period, end of story, done. It's such a huge deal. But yeah, for the while it was only on AT&T until what, the 4S or 4 or something before they got to multi
iPhone 4.
iPhone 4.
Verizon. Yeah. Like what Apple did was they basically had like this exclusive with AT&T and that lasted for like 4 years. And, you know, eventually every carrier just saw the success of the iPhone and they just wanted to have those customers no matter what, to the point where they were like, all right, you can do whatever you want. Just make sure that this phone runs on our network. It would be really interesting to if Verizon never bent to Apple. I wonder what if Verizon would be still successful, or if AT&T would just be dominant in a world where that's the only place where you could get an iPhone.
Think about that right now. If a carrier had exclusive access to an iPhone today.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel like in the US it would just be the only carrier at this point. I don't even know. you're losing half your customer base at this point if you don't have an iPhone on that. And that's basically what happened, is that, you know, no one knew what the first iPhone was going to be successful.
Right.
And after 4 years of sales, and the iPhone 4 is really when it did start to pick up in sales, because then every carrier started carrying it. Mm-hmm. It was just too impossible to ignore at that point. And I'm sure Verizon felt the pressure to put it on their system, because they did not want, or any of the carriers really didn't want to give up control. And even today, you go in and buy an Android phone from a carrier, you're getting Verizon's apps on it. You're getting AT&T's apps on it. You're going to get a whole bunch of things that you might not want. Mm-hmm. You might get like Facebook on it still. Like, there's some stuff you got to deal with that isn't necessarily like the best user experience when you get a new phone. And you go into any carrier and you go buy an iPhone, it's the same apps no matter what. You get that phone, you experience the same setup as Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, whoever.
Yeah, and you know, you have these unified iPhones now that work across CDMA and GSM, yeah. And which was really nice, because that was never really the case for Android. Like, you always had to buy the right version of the phone, or it wasn't going to work on your carrier. So yeah, I mean, it's a great, and listen, Android now can lean on that and hopefully make their. I don't know that they're ever going to get to the point where Apple is, as far as updates go. I just don't think there's too many manufacturers. Too many different versions that lay on top of Android. There's too much for it to ever be kind of that same way, I think.
Yeah, it was, looking back at it, and at the time, I was too broke to own an iPhone. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I didn't have
for
any
sure.
money.
For sure.
I couldn't buy an iPhone. At the time, I kind of had like a knee-jerk reaction of like, this is too expensive. No, what are they doing? But I like really like appreciated the technology behind it. Like, it was just like, it was kind of amazing, like seeing the first one, especially in a world where I feel like BlackBerry is probably the dominant smartphone during that time. And you just see like all these phones look pretty much the same with this big physical keyboard at the bottom. And then, all of a sudden you just see this phone that has one button on it, and it's like, you know, back then they said it was a big screen. It was 3.5 inches. And it really was like, for that time, that was like the biggest phone screen you could get. And you're seeing direct manipulation with a touch screen. And back then, if you ever used a touch screen, most of them were what?
Resistive. Terrible.
Where you had to like, awful experience. So when you first saw that, you're almost in disbelief of like, it does not work that smoothly. There's no way it runs like that. I've used touch screens. They're awful. But there you have it, where it's like this like smooth scrolling, this tap, this really simple user interface, because smartphones back then, you can say how complicated tech is today. Smartphones back then were very hard to use. You could not hand that to someone,
yeah,
and they would not know how to use it without going through significant amount of pain. Even then, browsing the web on one of those phones was a nightmare. It wasn't even like a website. It was just like some like weird version of it. You would never want to use it to look up anything. It was just an awful experience. So really a groundbreaking product. It is crazy to think that it's been like 15 years since that's been released, though.
Well, and I immediately think of the iPad, and I would have agreed with Gary. I thought it was a bit of a stumble. I, you know, to be honest, when it came out, I'm like, why are they just making a bigger version of a phone? That's dumb. Like, I really thought that. But of course, now I love tablets and iPads and stuff. So, yeah, Apple's done some pretty amazing things. I know sometimes it sounds like we gush over Apple, but really, be honest, without them, a lot of the things we see from even Android manufacturers wouldn't be a thing. And certainly, even if they were a thing, they would not be as legitimized as they are with Apple out there, kind of making it commonplace. I don't know, Greg, anything else we want to jump on before we head on out?
Just want to remind everyone to get the Taco Pass, $10 a month, unlimited taco. If anyone signs up for the Taco Pass, can you just like tweet me? I want to like live through you.
I want to
see you get a taco every day. You can like at me every day you get that Taco Bell taco. I want to see. You can like film the interaction too, going up to the, can I like, do I have to talk to, like, it's in the app, right? So can I like mobile order it? Like, I don't have to talk to anyone, right? Because I feel that's like that'd be the most embarrassing part of the Taco Pass. Like,
it's like I have
going
a taco
up
pass.
To someone every day and being like, I'm here for my taco. That would kill me. I would really need no human interaction. I would just need that, like, in a bag at the front of the cash register. No one's looking. I go grab it. I run out the store as quickly as possible, and I'm scarfing that taco down in my car.
That's not a bad point. I mean, to say that, hey, here's my app. I have this thing that allows me to come here all the time, like some type of weirdo, and come here more often than some of the workers that work here, and eat the food. It's, I don't know.
You know who else has a subscription service? Panera for coffee, which makes more sense.
Coffee subscription does, yes.
People do get a coffee like every day sometimes.
Why hasn't Starbucks come up with that? I guess they don't have to. So this is, if you think about it.
I feel like that would be bad for them.
It would be. They would lose money. They would lose money. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if they could price it pretty high, I think, and get people to pay for it.
That's true. So they want, what Taco Bell's trying to do, what they're betting is that you're not just going to get a taco. You're going to get a drink and something else on the side because, well, you can just eat a taco. That's not going to work. So it's smart for them. But for something like Starbucks, you're 100% right. They would lose money because people are going there every day anyway. So there's no point for them to do that.
You kidding me? Give Viper that Starbucks pass? It'd be out of business. They'd have to they'd have to cancel him. They'd be like the one person. They'd have to like call up on the phone and be like, "You've been using the membership too much, and we have the right to revoke any membership." So I'm sorry, you cannot get the free Starbucks anymore.
Well, we're here to introduce the GadgetCast Pass, which is all you gotta do is subscribe, and you'll be able to listen to as much GadgetCast as you want. There's tons of episodes over the last couple of years and more to come, and all types of shenanigans on its way.
Do people listen to old tech podcasts?
That's a great question. I don't see the point of it, but let's take a look.
I feel like it becomes irrelevant pretty soon after it's out of our mouths.
I would agree. It becomes weak to listen. Looks like he's frozen up because his internet went bad. But I 100% agree. Yeah. Like Yeah. So some of the older stuff. Like, let's take a look. There's a way to figure this out on our analytics. Like, what's the oldest thing that's still getting listens, I wonder? I'm trying to go to the...
Does anyone in the chat ever, like, pull up an old gadget cast? Is that, like, a thing when you're feeling lonely? Are you just like, I need Travis and Greg right now. I'm so lonely.
I'm thinking that never happens, by the way. And because all the people in the chat...
There's got to be at least one person. There's got to be a dedicated fan who's like... My Saturday was rough. Let me load up the gadget cast. Let me load up the first episode. Ah, so good.
No, there's no way because these people are live streamers. They don't listen to the audio. All right.
Steve did it. See? I knew it.
Well, I can see right here. Yeah, that some of them. Apple 22. Yeah. So some people are just behind by a couple of weeks based on what I'm seeing here. And
That's a good point that Craze Tech brings up. He said he watched an old episode with Prosser. Like, if we had like a guest that you wanted to hear, I guess you'd go back to that.
Oh, well, like 504 says he watched the iJustine episode a couple days ago. Now that lives forever because it was a cool thing. Like, it didn't have, it wasn't tech news. It was interesting. Yeah.
So we need more interviews to build up a back catalog. We need, iJustine weekly.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. We hope to actually have some more guests. We hope to have a decent show in January. It's a little surprise show, hopefully. We'll see. It should be fun times. I'm looking forward to
it.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, anyway, so for the people listening to the audio podcast, we appreciate you. Of course, hit that, you're already probably subscribed. But if you haven't, do it. Leave a great, amazing review. And, of course, all of our links are in the show notes. You can follow us on social medias and all that other things and do cool things. I think that's it. So
that's it.
He's Greg. I'm Travis, and we're GadgetCast. See you next time.